Good morning. This is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. A wisp of reason blossomed in drought-parched Ethiopia this morning. Five Somalians who'd held more than 100 passengers hostage on a hijacked jet in Addis Ababa gave up the idea of winning freedom for their colleagues through terror. And Derek Blakely was there.
After three grueling days aboard the Somali Airlines Boeing 707 jetliner parked here on the tarmac at Addis Ababa Airport, the more than 100 people on board have finally been released. They're walking down the stairway now, about to board two buses that will take them into the city of Addis Ababa for a bit of rest. They look a bit worn, but on the whole, rather well. Their release is the result of a long and painstaking negotiation, a three-way negotiation between the Ethiopian government, the Somali government, with the Italian embassy here in Addis Ababa acting as intermediaries between the two. The hijackers have surrendered. They have surrendered their weapons as well, and they will be granted political asylum in Ethiopia if they desire it as part of the deal. Derek Blakely, CBS News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
Of the two certainties, taxes seems the sure bet today. William Schrader lives on with his artificial heart, and Donald Regan is ready to introduce a new model of taxation to keep the flow of dollars coming to the body politic. The story on John Ferrugia at the White House.
Administration sources claim the plan, which Treasury Secretary Donald Regan will outline publicly today, would cut the average taxpayer's bill by 8.5%, but it would increase the tax bill of most heavy industries. Overall tax rates would be lower, the highest being 35% instead of the present 50%, but some individuals would pay more. That's because many tax deductions would be eliminated, but not the home mortgage deduction. Sources say it is safe. For big business, the lucrative accelerated cost recovery system, a cornerstone of the president's 1981 tax reform package, would be replaced. That means industries that invest in heavy equipment won't get a major tax deduction through depreciation. Sources say that by laying out the plan publicly, the administration hopes to find out exactly what business, industry, and Congress will accept. The president will then include those points in his own plan that he will present in January. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
The president's Commission on Crime opens 3 days of hearings today on what they're calling the all-American drug, cocaine. Use of cocaine has risen, the commission says, from 5.5 million Americans in 1974 to 21.5 million in 1983. The hearings will focus as well on developments in the countries that produce it. A British diplomat has been shot to death en route to his office in Bombay, India. Percy Norris, the deputy high commissioner, was 56. His office in Bombay said he never had a chance.
A gunman or gunmen opened fire on his car, and he was shot in the head and in the chest. The first thing the driver knew was that he heard what he described as a single loud bang, although clearly there were two or three bullets fired at least.
More on the story now, and Michael Hamlin in New Delhi.
Norris was the deputy high commissioner in charge of the British mission in the city, the largest business center in the country. He'd been in the job for only a month. He was on his way to work in a British Rover car when two men stepped in front of the car and began shooting. According to an eyewitness who's now in the hands of the police, one of the men was white, with long hippie-style hair. A policeman at the spot later suggested that the killing could be the work of the Irish Republican Army, who had recently tried and failed to blow up Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in Brighton, England. The Indian government has officially expressed a horror at the crime, and security has immediately been strengthened for all other British offices around the country. Michael Hamlin for CBS News, New Delhi.
Half a dozen Israeli warplanes raided the upper Bekaa Valley in Lebanon this morning, the first missions of that kind since early September. The Israeli command says the target was a Palestine front headquarters and staging area. All the planes came back. Israel, meanwhile, is mulling over yesterday's resumption of relations between the United States and Iraq, finalized yesterday. This story on Bruno Wassertile.
In Jerusalem, the reestablishment of diplomatic ties between the U.S. and Iraq, one of Israel's most implacable enemies, came as no surprise. Israeli officials have been expecting such a move for some time. However, Foreign Ministry spokesman Avi Pazner stressed that while Israel does not object to Washington having diplomatic links with Baghdad, it would vigorously object to the sale of any U.S. military hardware to the Iraqis.
We do oppose the sale of arms to states which are in a state of war against Israel.
Osner stressed that the rapprochement between the U.S. and Iraq has not lessened in any way Iraq's opposition to the existence of the State of Israel, against which it has actively fought in every major Arab-Israeli war since 1948. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The Louisville heart patient is in day three with his artificial heart this morning and doing well. Karen Stone has a report.
William Schrader spent a very stable night, according to Dr. William DeVries, the chief surgeon who implanted Schrader's mechanical heart. So stable, in fact, that the endotracheal tube that has assisted Schrader with breathing was removed early this morning.
I asked him, as soon as the tube came out of him, we let him have some ice chips, and I asked him, how are you doing? He told me, he said, is the heart working all right? And I said, yes, it is. And he said, I said, can I get you anything? Can I do anything for you? He said, I'd like a can of beer.
Dr. DeVries said the patient was deteriorating so rapidly Saturday, he was worried that Mr. Schrader might not survive until Sunday morning's operation. I don't think he would have lasted until Monday, Dr. DeVries said. I think that Saturday might have been the last Saturday of his life. Dr. DeVries said that if all continues well, power from the portable unit that could allow Schrader mobility will be tested Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Karen Stone, CBS News, Louisville, Kentucky.
Humana's Institute has committed itself to 100 artificial heart implants like that keeping Mr. Schroeder going. Colorado's Governor Richard Lamb recently drew fire when he suggested there are limits to such heroic efforts. This brings Lamb into conflict with the artificial heart's inventor, Dr. Robert Jarvik, this morning, who says money is relative.
Take it outside of medicine, that it is appropriate to expend large sums of money to defend our freedom. What do we do in terms of defending our lives in the future or defending our technology or our position as a technological leader in this country? It takes money.
The position of Dr. Jarvik. Governor Lamb of Colorado says when the private funding runs out, this burden will fall on all.
Ultimately, what these people are doing is that once they start it, inevitably the technological genie gets out of the bottle and then the government has to come in. The government ends up paying 40% of all the health care costs. In this area, they pay even more. And it's going to be the taxpayers that are going to have to do this.
A major bank this morning lowered its prime lending rate a quarter point below levels many banks went to only yesterday. Chase Manhattan announcing this morning its prime of 11.25%. The dollar weakened slightly on the world money markets today. Gold was 333.35 in London. It's 10 past the hour.